All right, it's Chandra with the Contemporary Horsemanship Podcast, and today I wanted to talk about spooking. So I'm going to talk about why spooking happens, its roots, and some ways to deal with it, and some ways that you shouldn't deal with it. You kind of tend to make it worse. So underlying all spooking is going to be fear. So horses are prey animals. They're going to have a more intense fear response than we will. And we have pretty intense fear responses to things as it is. So just kind of imagine your greatest fears just amplified. So if we can kind of look at it more from the horse's perspective and kind of be more compassionate about it, then it's a lot easier to deal with than if we look at spooking through like a lens of like misbehavior or bad behavior. So that's where a lot of people tend to go, and it can go there really easy. It's not that you have to be a bad trainer, rider, or person. It's just, it can be really frustrating, especially with certain horses, especially when it's little tiny things that scare them and you're like, okay, this is dumb. I don't understand why you're doing it. Like, just kind of get over it. So it's the seeing the horse as dumb when they spook it, a little bird or the wind or like little tiny things that they've seen before. That's a big problem that we have. And then the other problem is not understanding it. And for a very long time, I did not understand why my horse is spooked at seemingly nothing or the far end of the arena, going on the trails, things like that. And then once you understand it, you can sympathize more with them because you're like, okay, that's a genuine fear for this animal. And then you're more compassionate with how you look at them and with your training. And again, just like probably most of my training, getting the Mustangs was a big thing that changed my outlook on that. Because I think a lot of domestic horses have a fear response, but we're so trained, like us as humans, to think that they're taking advantage of you, or they're being disrespectful, or they just don't want to cooperate. They just don't want to do this or that. That's so ingrained in the horse world that we, especially with domestic horses, we overlook that. With the Mustangs, I could see that they were genuinely terrified. And I think that definitely helped change my perspective to see what they saw. They were genuinely terrified in the beginning of me and of pretty much everything in the human world. So I had to teach them how to interact in this world and not be afraid. And that was really like powerful for me and gave me a lot of confidence. And then it definitely changed how I view horses in general. So that's a big part of it, is that horses are genuinely afraid. There's a very few horses that have learned to spook in order to get out of work. And I'll talk about those, but that root cause is still fear. So let's say my horse sees a jacket on the fence rail and maybe he spooks a little bit. And then in that process, I stop asking him to go forward, or I loosen the reins, or I completely drop the reins, or I fall off. So there you would get a release of pressure. So negative reinforcement is happening. And maybe the next time the horse goes by the jacket, then he'll kind of jump again and get that release again. But where that behavior came from initially was fear. The horse may have learned through negative reinforcement, release of pressure, that he could do this behavior in order to get that pressure release. But again, at the end of the day, what caused that was fear. So the fear might not necessarily be there anymore, but it's learned. But I'm going to say most of the time the horse is still genuinely afraid. And the horses that have learned those responses are pretty much, they're pretty rare, I would say. They're also going to be those horses that are usually more cold-blooded, like they don't really want to go forward. They're very sensitive to a lot of pressures, and that's why they figure out these other different behaviors to kind of get that pressure released. So I would say 90% of horses, though, are definitely going to be just afraid of whatever it might be. And there's obviously different levels of fear, but all of them are valid. If the horse is just kind of looking and they're a little bit nervous, that's just as valid as a horse that's completely running away. So fear is still real, no matter how intense it is. So that's another part of that. I saw the fear in my Mustangs at a very intense level because it was a scary, big experience for them when I adopted them. But it doesn't have to be. All of those experiences of fear are valid. So if my horse is a little jumpy or a little looky, that's still fear. And it shouldn't be thought of as like, oh, well, it's not him completely running away or shivering and shaking, you know. But so we can overlook it, it should still be, oh, okay, he's actually afraid, even though it's a little fear response. And I think that's also part of why we overlook it with domestic horses. Like my quarter horse mare, Dakota, she shows her fear in a very different way than my Mustangs do. Again, when they're so far over threshold, yes, they're still going to run away. They're still going to do flight, fight, or freeze. But those little tiny little behaviors that you see in the beginning are going to be really, really subtle with her. Same with Atlas. His are really subtle, and then they jump to really intense. So every horse is going to show those behaviors kind of at a different pace and a different like volume on the body language scale, but they're still going to be there. They're still going to be the same. So a couple of those behaviors that you would see typically for a horse that's spooking that are going to be pretty subtle. A horse just pricking their ears, looking like giving attention to something. So putting both ears on an object. Then it's going to be lifting their head and neck up. So they raise their head and neck up so they can get a better view. They can kind of see a bit better than when their head is down on the ground. Opening their nostrils, so flaring the nostrils a little bit. It could be both nostrils. It could be just one. Like Atlas, it's one. He'll really flare one nostril, and that can give you a sense of, okay, he's a little bit worried about something. Some will do both. Some, you know, will change. He'll do one, and then he'll do the other. Just kind of depends. Tension in the muzzle, so tight lips, closed lips. A horse will stop grazing or stop eating or stop chewing. And then so that tightness, that sealed mouth, and then the wrinkle in the corner of the lips, wrinkles around the nostrils, wrinkles above the eye, eyes that are in, like tense and staring, neck muscles that are tense, just any body muscles, but it's probably going to be more apparent on the neck. Stopping, like if they're going forward, they stop or they back up or they might turn their head away. They might be thinking like, okay, where's the nearest exit? So looking away when they're not looking at something. So they might look at the object and then kind of look away. And then once you get kind of further up there, kind of spinning away, turning away, moving away from the object, running away is obvious, or freezing and then bolting, or freezing and then bucking and running away. Those are all obviously the intense ones that you're probably familiar with, but those little ones are really important. So there is a difference between a horse that's spooking and ones that's like just startling. So most of the time we kind of lump them together and we just say the horse is spooking at whatever it is. The one main thing that I probably want to get across with this episode is that horses are animals. We all know it, but we tend to treat them like cars and four-wheelers and dirt bikes and other bicycles, other methods of transportation. And we shouldn't. I know that it's fun to like go on a trail ride on your horse and go do things with your horse, but we have to know that horses are animals. They have feelings, and most importantly, they're prey animals. So they have that heightened sense of awareness and survival. So it's different than a dog. And my dog, she's terrified of lots of things, and she's a prey or a predator. So, you know, that's just, again, really heightened in them. But we have to know that when we're riding or handling horses, they're going to spook. They're going to be afraid of things. They're going to startle. That is part of how they are. We startle. We get scared of things. That's totally normal. But again, it's heightened in horses. So that's the biggest thing, is like, you're never going to be riding a horse that never, ever, ever spooks. That's just not possible. Unless your horse is half dead, got one leg in the grave, like that's just not going to happen. Or it's just like really, really, really old. But that's going to be extremely, extremely rare. So just going into it, that horses are going to spook and startle. That's just part of it. And just knowing that that's going to happen, you can't completely get rid of it. It's not possible. You can definitely calm it down, tone it down, get rid of some of it, but you're not going to be able to get rid of all of it. So that's a big thing. But back to the spooking versus startling. So your startle is going to be a normal thing that a person would startle at. So if I'm just, you know, walking around my yard, whatever, and a bird jumps, flies out from under me, I might startle, or a loud noise, I might startle. Someone jumps out, loud sounds, just normal things like that, that scare a person are definitely going to scare a horse. I think the main difference is going to be the reaction kind of afterward. So a startle might be the horse jumps and freezes, and then he continues on. Or he'll kind of, you know, they'll splat kind of, or they'll shift to the side. That's going to be their normal, like a splat is like they splay their legs and they stop in their spot, in their place. That's going to be your normal startle response. And then they kind of continue on after that. That thing, that is not going to go away. Horses are going to jump to the side. They're going to stop really quick. They're going to stop in place. That is going to still happen. We can minimize it, but it's still going to happen. The spooking is kind of the next level. Again, you're not going to get rid of that. It's still going to be normal. It's still something that horses can do, but it's going to be more intense than the startle. So the spooking is going to be like staring off at things in the distance. So it'll be like, oh, what is that? There's something out there, even though it's nothing. Maybe it's a bird. Maybe it's a person far away. Like maybe it's a car, whatever it is. That's going to be kind of your low level of spooking. Going to be kind of more intense reactions to things. So like the bird pops out and then they jump and then they run off a few feet or they run off a lot. It's going to be what happens afterward. Mostly is going to be the most intense one, or it's going to happen more frequently. So I've had a few horses that would jump at everything. They were sensitized to a lot of things. So constantly jumping at stuff. So that startle response kind of magnified. So the spooking is just going to be more intense. You can't get rid of both of them, but the startle is going to be just things that scare humans too, going to scare horses. Can't get rid of it. Spooking is just going to be more intense. And then specifically afterward. So the horse maybe stops and then it runs off and it bucks maybe. And then there's different levels to that intensity, but those are kind of the differences. So, I kind of want to go over just kind of how to introduce your horse to something that's scary on the ground first and then kind of under saddle. So your most basic one is going to be approach and retreat. So you kind of get up to a little bit of the object. We'll just say it's going to be an object. It could be anything. It could be a person, could be absolutely nothing, just something that the horse senses or thinks he senses. But we're going to treat them all the same. So usually we want to just stop when the horse is showing us a little bit of worry. We don't want to push it. We definitely don't want to get the horse over threshold. Sometimes that happens, unfortunately, even if you're being careful. We can't control the environment. That's just not something we can do. So things move faster than we like. They make louder things than we would want. We can't control the whole world. But approach and retreat is going to be that basic method. So let's just say my horse is spooking at a flag. So I've been doing a lot of flag training with my horses. So not chasing them with flags, but getting them used to flags, showing them flags, letting them approach and retreat them, pairing food with flags. That's kind of how I'm doing it. I just wanted to be clear and have this side note that I'm not chasing them with flags. That's not what's happening. Equine agility with them. And so part of that, one of the obstacles is flags. And so everybody's just kind of learning about flags. So that's what I've been working on. So that's what I want to talk about. So let's say that there's a flag in my arena. So I put it over there. So it's at a pretty safe distance. So the horses can see it. They're noticing it, but they're not going into like, oh my God, what is that yet? They're just going to see it and they're going to notice it. So like those low level behaviors that I mentioned earlier, you're going to start seeing those. So if I'm working with my horse, I can ask them to approach a little bit, reinforce them, and then take them away from it. And it's kind of that like ocean wave. We're going to go a little bit further, and then we're going to go back. And then we're going to go further, and then we're going to go back. It's that going back away from the scary thing that's really going to build the horse's confidence. That's the key that most people miss. Most people, even with positive reinforcement, they'll want to just go to the thing, especially if it's something silly or we perceive as silly. We'll just be like, well, if you just go up there and see it, you'll be fine. But that's not necessarily true. And we don't want the horse to be so bold that they go up to everything. And then specifically with things that move, is if I teach my horse to just go up to everything, if I teach him to go up to this flag and it starts getting windy and it starts making noise and moving around, now he's gone up to it and he's scared himself more. He's sensitized himself more. And that's really the opposite of what we want to do. We want to desensitize the horse to it. So we want to caution on that. Definitely don't want to force the horse to go up to there. Forcing the horse is just going to make him more afraid. And I'll talk about more like things you don't want to do a little bit later on because I have them written down so I'm not jumping around too much. But definitely forcing the horse with negative reinforcement and positive punishment is not something that we want to do. We don't want to chase them over there. We don't want to drag them over there. Don't want to do that. That's going to make the horse more afraid of the object, afraid of you, and then afraid of everything else in the environment. I've said that a bunch of times with different topics, but horses learn by associating what's going on in that environment with what's happening. Is positive or is it negative? Is it good or is it bad? So we really don't want to make us something that the horses don't want to do or participate in or go near. Going in the arena is not something we want to make a negative thing, a negative association. So we want to not do that. I really try to make everything as possible and under threshold as possible. So as positive and under threshold as possible. So definitely not forcing a horse to go up to it. On the other hand, with using positive reinforcement, I don't want to only feed him for going forward to it or approaching it or touching it, because sometimes horses will be conflicted, especially if you're using a really high value reward like grain, carrots, store-bought horse cookies, or they're like, okay, well, I want the cookie, but I also don't want to go near the scary thing. So they'll go over there, grab the cookie, and then they're still afraid. So I really want to teach my horse that going to the object, seeing the object is not scary, and building up a good reinforcement history around that object versus just them going up there to get food. So I don't want my horses to be conflicted. So with the approach and retreat, I would have them approach a little bit so they're noticing it, but they're still staying relaxed, they're under threshold, and then reinforcing them for being brave and going forward, but also reinforcing them for being relaxed, walking away relaxed, because that's another thing that we miss is when the horse turns their back to something, they might think that it's chasing them. So even though they're going away from it, now it's behind, and it's if it's moving, or even if it's not moving, it's behind them and it potentially could chase them. So that's a pretty common reaction, but that's something we got to watch out for. So making sure that they can walk away calmly. I want to reinforce that. I want to reinforce a lot of relaxation behaviors and do a lot of things that would result in reinforcement around the scary thing. So maybe have them target, or targeting is going to be easy because it doesn't really ask them to do much. And it's something they have a good reinforcement history with, because that's one of the early behaviors that you teach. So just targeting a lot near the object. And then maybe going forward a little bit, reinforcing that, going away a little bit, reinforcing that, and kind of just doing a positive training session near that object. So we have to know when using approach and retreat, when to stop approaching. That's probably the biggest one. I get stuck on that because, you know, we want to go goal-based. So even if there's not a huge goal, like I want to go to a show or something, it's like, oh, I want him to go up to it. I want him to go near the thing or finish this behavior or do whatever it is. Humans are more goal-oriented. So knowing when to stop and not get any closer is a really important one, and one that I struggle with too. But I don't really want to push my horse past like where they're really raising their head up and they're kind of getting tense, and like you're kind of seeing the behaviors your horse would show before they'd want to leave. So I want to keep things nice and calm. So if they kind of, maybe if they're a little tight in the face or if they're pricking their ears, I'm okay with that. I just don't want them to go into raising the head up and like, oh my, what is that kind of behaviors? So anything under that, I'll let them approach a little bit. And then kind of, if you see them kind of going out of relaxation, kind of out of their normal, just noticing an object behavior, then we'll want to start walking away. And then we want to walk away to a place where the horse is comfortable and they're not showing any behaviors where they're tight and tense. So whatever their safe place is away from that. And you'll kind of know, you'll kind of read your horse's body language, and that place is going to be where they kind of relax a little bit more. They put their head down a little bit more. The tension kind of leaves their face. That's going to be that place. And it depends on each horse. That might be 20 feet away, might be 100 feet away. It just really depends. So just watching your horse's body language and knowing them, that's when you're going to know where that place is. So it's really important. And then knowing when to stop for you. So I am like that. I'm like, oh, well, I'd like to just get him to go up to this flag in one session. Like, oh, one session's all it needs, right? But each horse, again, is different. I I should be okay with him approaching it a little bit in one session, maybe a little bit more in the next session. Maybe after 3 or 4 sessions, he can go up to it. So that's another thing that I want to work on is just, okay, well, it doesn't have to, everything doesn't have to be done in one session. So we need to know when to stop too and not keep pushing the horse to do it. Even with using pause reinforcement, keeping things nice and short and sweet, going and doing something else and maybe even coming back the same day is still better than just like doing too much and drilling. We don't want to do that. So the other thing that I'm kind of playing with and working with, it's called BAT. So behavior adjustment training is what it stands for. So it is negative reinforcement and it functions because the horse will notice the object and then it'll be taken away. And then after the horse is consistently like looking at the object when it's presented, then you're going to start waiting and looking for a slightly more relaxed body language. So it's not going to be completely relaxed right away, but a slightly more relaxed body language. And then you'd again take that object away. So that's how that negative reinforcement works. The object is being taken away. So that pressure that the object brings with it is leaving when you see the behavior that you're kind of looking for that behavior that you're looking to reward. So, and that's going to be very similar to when I first had my Mustangs and just my presence was aversive because I was scary to them. So I would walk away, I would leave after I got the behavior I want. And so that's what we're doing through BAT with different objects. So same example with the flag. Let's say I would just keep my horse in the pasture. So let's say I have the flag out. It's a little bit windy. I have the flag pretty far away, maybe 100 feet away. So my horse is in his pasture. Then I would bring the flag a little bit closer. He might kind of look at it and recognize it. Then I'm going to stop and take it away. Then I'll bring it up a little bit. When he looks at it, I'm going to take it away. And I continue to do this. And then kind of as you go, you'll want to take the flag away as he's a little bit more relaxed. You don't want to go too fast to where he's looking at it and then getting tense. We don't want that. So if he looks at it and then starts getting tense, you're just going to kind of wait and then see if he kind of just starts to relax a little bit, then you take it away. So that's kind of the process. There's going to be a lot of little details to watch with your horse's body language, but you want the horse to kind of notice it in the beginning and then you take it away. And then you want to start to have them relaxing a little bit and then you start to take it away. So you don't want to continue going though forward toward the horse while they're like being tense or starting to go past the level of just looking at it. You want to stop. So same thing with like approaching it using positive reinforcement. It's the same thing. So you're going to want to go forward toward the horse a little bit. Once they start to kind of notice it, that's where you're going to stop and wait. And then you're going to back up and you go forward a little bit to where they're kind of looking at you and then you can go away. And then you can progress while they're relaxed. So the horse has to be pretty relaxed for you to come forward. Once they start to kind of maybe raise the head and neck up a little bit, then you're going to stop. You're not going to go away at that part. You're going to stop, wait for them to relax a little bit. Then you take the flag away. So that's kind of just that in a nutshell, like really, really quick one. I'm going to have to make a whole episode on that. Right now I'm kind of playing with it a little bit. I've watched some videos about it and then I'm reading a book about it. So later on, once I have more information and more details on it, I will do a whole episode on that. But, so far it looks like it works pretty well. And that's like a good introduction to objects that might be scary for the horse. And then after that point, then I can start adding in the pause reinforcement once the horse is okay with it approaching. Because what can happen with horses that are really afraid of something is that it can poison the object, the intensity and the scariness of the object can poison the food. So even if you have something the horse wants to work for, the scariness intensity is higher than the food value. So let's say my horse is like really afraid of this flag. And then if I'm feeding him by the flag, he's like, okay, well, I don't want any food by this flag. It's too scary. It's too much. So if I can just work on kind of, it's still the approach and retreat, but with working with the negative reinforcement with Cat, just kind of approaching a little bit and then going away when he's kind of noticing it. And then when he's relaxing, then I can kind of build up that distance and then I can start adding. Once that most of that fear is gone, then I can add the food so that I don't poison the food. So that's a lot. There's a lot of details going on there, but I just want to caution against that, because you can also make the whole situation negative if the intensity of the scary object or thing is too intense. So that's important. And then if you wanted to just do like a low level negative reinforcement to get your horse to approach something or just be near something that might be scary, you could work on a figure eight. So kind of approaching on that straight part of the figure eight, and then, or letting them kind of approach for a stride or two, stand and look at the object, and then they can leave, like either going left or right on that figure eight away from the object. And then again, going, when you go back around on your figure eight, then you're again waiting and just letting the horse sit and relax. So they're getting a release of pressure on the straight part of the figure eight while they're looking at, or they're in the direction of whatever scary. So that's a good example for like the scary end of the arena, is you want to start by the gate or wherever the horse's comfort zone is. So we'd start on our figure eight. Let's say we'll go straight for a couple strides. Then we'll all stop. I'll let the horse kind of look toward the scary end of the arena. Then I'll turn left. We'll go around the circle. Then we'll go back to the straight part. I'll let him stop and look at the scary end again. And then we'll go right. And we'll keep doing that. And you'll kind of build up how many strides you can go forward on that straightaway of the figure eight, until the horse is gradually going toward the scary end. So what that does is it lets the horse rest while it's facing the scary end of the arena. And then it makes the horse work or have more pressure in that comfort zone. So that's where people get most of their problems with trying to introduce their horse to something scary, is that they'll make the horse work near the scary object. And that doesn't work until the horse is like really tired. So then the horse pretty much just gives up. And some horses it doesn't work on at all. So your hotter type horses, it's not going to work on at all. All you're going to do is end up sensitizing that horse by that object. And that's the opposite that you want to do. So the only way that could work is if the horse is just kind of giving up and is like, okay, it's not worth it. It's not worth how much work it is. But that has potentially bad consequences, because you've worked them so much, like you can just break down horses faster. But when you're doing a bunch of circles and a bunch of turns and stuff near that scary stuff, you have to do it usually at a pretty high intensity. What I'm saying with the figure eight is you could just do that at a walk. You don't need to do it at a trot. You definitely don't need to do it at a canter. I would actually probably prefer you just do it at a trot or at a walk. Because the horse can just, they work a little bit. There's still that negative reinforcement at play, but it's not so intense. We don't need to do it at a trot and a canter. What other things that I've seen is the horse starts to spook at something and you're near that object and you make them work really hard by it. So what that can do is sensitize your horse to that object and make that whole area poisoned, essentially. So like what I was saying earlier with the intensity was too much of the object or the flag, and then it poisons the food. So it takes kind of away that value of the food. Like the horse is like, oh no, like when you feed me grain over here, like I have to be really near that scary thing. So I don't really want that grain, you know, that kind of thing. But what it does is like riding near the thing can be poisoned. Just riding in general. So it can be really negative environment for the horse near that thing. So you could really make it worse. Like I've talked about that with trailer loading, that happens pretty common. In the effort of getting the horse in, the horse it will not want to go near the trailer at all, kind of a thing. So you have to be really careful with that. And I don't use that at all. I hear that a lot, where it's like, if your horse spooks, just make them do something constructive with their feet. Usually you're going to be really close to that object and you're going to make being near that thing really scary. And if not scary, make it a lot of work, and horses aren't going to want to hang out in a place where there's a lot of work. So I would definitely caution against doing that because of those downfalls. So if you're doing the figure eight, do it at a walk. You can do it in the arena, out on the trailer, out on the trail, wherever, and just gradually increase the distance. And I read that and I got that from Alexander Curlin. So that's where I got that lesson. That works really well. I kind of did a separate kind of thing with that. I used a lot of stuff Warwick Schiller does, That works really well for low-level negative reinforcement for getting your horse to go near something scary or go down the trail or go to the scary end of the arena, and it's very similar. It would just be the horse kind of approaches it. Once the horse kind of gets to the point where they're like a little bit scared, you let them turn. So you are riding on a loose rein. You let them go away from it. When they go away from it, you kind of ask them to do a little bit more work. So, or you make them a little bit more uncomfortable. So you could go into trot, and then when they come, and then you have them circle back around. And then when they go toward the object, they can stop or they can go to walk. Or when the horse goes away from the object, you can kind of like bump your legs against their sides, not kicking, but kind of just an annoying bump. So again, negative reinforcement until you turn them back toward that scary thing and the scary end of the arena, and then you stop. So it's just making anything away from where you want to go more work or more pressure, and then you're releasing it while you're going toward this. So those are all very similar things, and they do work in the most of the time. So you have to use them really low level. I wouldn't do a lot of kicking. I wouldn't make the horse run a bunch. That's not part of that. It's just kind of making everywhere else more work or more pressure than going just even toward the place that you want to go at a low level, though. That's important. I don't want anything at a high level. You're just going to end up scaring the horse more. And you can still end up not necessarily teaching the horse anything either. It's got to be done really subtly. Like, you have to really know where your horse's comfort zones are and where they aren't. What happens is the rider doesn't know exactly where the horse's comfort zone is, and then they end up kind of either bumping the horse's sides or making them go to trot in a place they're really not comfortable, and then that's where the problems start. So if the horse is just working in that scary area, or what they deem as a scary area, and they're also working in the comfort area, they're still going to go to the comfort area. You have to really know where that comfort area is, and you have to allow the horse to go back to that area. So again, noticing the body language, that's where the horse is relaxing. Their ears aren't focused on anything. Their head and neck comes down. They're not tense. They're not wanting to go forward a lot. So that's where those comfort areas are going to be. So that's where the addition of pressure has to happen. Be that turning, bumping with the legs, making the horse trot in that area, that's where it has to happen, and it has to stop when the horse gets closer to the thing that is scared of. So it's very, very subtle. It does work, but you have to really pay attention to it. So you can go wrong with it pretty quickly. So that's just part of it. So you have to really know what you're doing with that. But the part that is really important too, when the horse is approaching something scary, is that the horse needs to be allowed to turn around and to leave. I know a lot of traditional trainers, or in some natural horsemanship trainers, they're like, you can don't let the horse ever turn around. Don't let them do anything that you didn't ask them to do. But when you let the horse turn away, then the horse can go back to that comfort zone, and they don't feel like you're forcing them to go to that scary place. When they feel like you're forcing them, they're just going to not want to go even more. And then they're not going to trust you either. So I would definitely not force them to go up to something, to go towards something, near something in the scary area that they're not comfortable with. Build up to it really, really slowly. So let the horse walk 10 feet toward the thing. Then before they get real worried, turn them away. Let them go back to that comfort area, and then have them go back out. So it's kind of like a figure eight, but you're just kind of doing little loops, and then gradually go out a little bit further and a little bit further, but you're always going back to that comfort area so that the horse doesn't feel like he has nowhere else to go and that he can only go down there. If he feels like he can come back to that comfort area, then he's going to be braver. He's going to feel more comfortable. So that's really, really important. So Warwick Schiller has the 50-foot trail ride. That's what that is, essentially. He lets the horse go down the trail a little bit. If the horse is afraid, he lets him go back all the way to his comfort zone. And then he usually adds on, like, he'll bump the horse with his feet there. He'll make the horse trot there in that comfort zone, because you have to have some motivation to get the horse away from the comfort area. So that's the motivation there with negative reinforcement, is him having the horse trot some circles or bump him with his feet. And then the horse will start wanting to go away from that comfort area because there's a lot of work there. And then once that horse kind of drifts away from the comfort area, that's when you're going to stop having the horse trot, stop bumping with their feet, and letting him just go forward toward down the trail. So that's kind of how that process works in summary. But that is just kind of a variation. All of these things are essentially the same. So the figure eight, the letting the horse, the loops where you, the 50-foot trail ride kind of thing where you loop a little bit further and you come back, and the turning away, the bumping when they turn away, that's all essentially the same with negative reinforcement. It's just subtly different ways that you can do it in. So those are some ways to do that with negative reinforcement. And we've talked about some ways to work through spooking and scary things with positive reinforcement. And then I'm going to talk about some things not to do that are going to make it much worse. So first is going to be positive punishment. So like hitting the horse to go forward to something, that's just going to make the horse more scared, especially if you've gone past their comfort zone, because now they're in a place they don't want to be anyway. They're already afraid. And then you're hitting him in that place. You're just going to make it worse. Forcing the horse to do something, they're just going to lose trust in you. I talked about this earlier, making the horse work near the object. You can just make the whole environment negative and just not in a good place. Like they are already afraid, and then you add in a bunch of work and possibly positive punishment, and then the horse really doesn't want to go over there. You can definitely make it worse. I also recommend not making yourself scarier than anything else. I've heard that a lot. I used to take lessons and heard that, like, make yourself scarier than whatever they're scared of. That's ridiculous, because you're just going to have the horse lose trust in you and be afraid of you. And you really cannot do anything positive and productive with a horse that's afraid of you. It just doesn't really make any sense. You can force a horse to do a lot of things, but that's really not what I want to do. I want to be in a partnership with my horse. I want to communicate with them, and I want to do things together with them. So you can just make things much worse by scaring the horse yourself. Some things that I would just caution, like little details, is be aware that the horse might spook away from something. Even though you think that you're taking the pressure off and you're going away from that object, the horse might think it's chasing them. So horses might jump and run forward even though they're leaving that object. So that's something to watch for. Watch the little details in their body language. Try to keep your horse under threshold. I know that's not always possible. We can't control the whole environments, but try to. If your horse does go over threshold a bit, that's okay. Try to take the animal away from the scary thing, back to their comfort zone, and then build back up. Try to desensitize and not sensitize the horse. So you want to expose the horse to something at low levels for a little bit of time and then take them back to their comfort zone. That's essentially desensitization. It's a little bit at a time where they're comfortable, and then they can go, then it goes away, then a little bit, and then a little bit more and a little bit more, all whilst keeping the horse under threshold where the horse is comfortable. You don't want to push it to where the horse goes over threshold, where they're really tight and tense, they're not chewing, they're going from relaxation to flight or fight. We don't want that, because you're going to start sensitizing the horse to the object. So instead of making the object appear not as scary, you're going to scare them more. So we really don't want to do that, because you're just making things worse. So chasing them over there, making them go up to things, those are all going to sensitize the horse to that object. And that is where we have the common, like, he's been afraid of this forever. We've been working on this for years and he's still afraid of it. He's probably being inadvertently sensitized to something. So you might be taking him up to something and then you're like, oh, well, he just needs to see it. He goes up to it and then he's like, oh, this is too much, and he scares himself more. That can be the really low end of something where they're inadvertently being sensitized to it because they're just too close and they're just not ready. The other end can be chasing your horse up to something, or forcing them to go up there by either pulling them with the lead rope or hitting them to get them up to something. And then you end up just sensitizing them to it, and that's not something we want. So if I was afraid of snakes or spiders or anything, I would want to experience them at a very low level and build up there. If you just threw me in a room full of snakes, like, you're going to make it worse. So you always want to aim to desensitize and not sensitize. So those are kind of all my little things. I could definitely go into more detail, but since I had been working on spooking and, like, introducing the horse to scary things this last couple of weeks, I wanted to talk about it a little bit. So hopefully those things were helpful.